everyone, and welcome back to the Android App Addicts Podcast. I am your host, Mark. Alongside me are, as always, the people you're really here for. Steve, the door-to-door geek McLaughlin, and Eric, the executive Ardini. Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Great. Thanks for asking. I'm fully defragged, back home, ready to podcast.
Defragging.
I hope you had a good trip, Eric. I am okay. Crazy week, crazy busy weekend. Oh, yeah. Now that I got you all here, next week, I believe, is the day I leave for Columbus, Ohio, for Ohio Linux Fest. I should be there Thursday night. So technically, I might be able to broadcast, but I suggest that we play it by ear because I'm going to be with Mr. Tracy Holtz, who really does appreciate finer fermented beverages.
Not the cheap ones. He only likes the fine ones.
Oh, no, not the cheap ones. Not Tracy.
Kimchi juice.
Oh, God.
No, it's a, yeah, I understand if you want to hang out with Tracy and not us. Totally understand. He's much cooler than I am.
Well, I could hang out with all of you.
Well, you could, but.
I don't know if this is a new thing or it's just because I don't deal with it very often, but lately I've been setting up some new gear, and every time I log into Chrome on a new browser or a new computer or a new phone, I'm getting an email saying, hey, you just logged in. And I'm okay with getting that once, but like every time I log in on a new, on this computer, which is a quote unquote new computer, but it's like a week old, I get an email. Is that a new thing? Are you guys seeing that or is it just me?
I see it when I set up a new computer, but only once per computer.
Once makes sense, but I just deleted like the seventh email about this computer here that I keep. I don't get it.
Huh? Are you maybe deleting cache or installing new browsers?
I don't know. I mean, it's sure. I mean, I installed Chrome and Firefox, but that was like 10 minutes in. That's the first thing. You know, IE is the thing you use to download the real browser with.
What is this IE you speak of?
Well, if you're on Windows, it's what you start out with.
Oh, okay. Well, can I ask you, what do you mean new computers?
Well, I got a new computer for my podcasting rig, specifically for video. I'm trying to trying to keep up with you, Dor. I'm trying to step up my game. I've bought a new Intel Nook PC, not because it's useful or that I need a small form factor, but because the name is cool. I mean, how could you not want a Nook?
Especially if you got a lot of ebook reading to do.
Right. So I bought one of those. It's a neat little thing. It's a 4-inch square, puck, that has an i3 processor. I put 8 gigs of RAM in it, dual HDMI. It's driving 2 24-inch monitors. My first thought was I'm going to get like a big TV. So I'm going to, cause those things are easy to find these days. I'm going to throw a 60-inch TV, there in my room. I can get it fairly inexpensively, probably for the cost of these two monitors. But then it occurred to me, wait, that's still, 1,080 pixels wide or 1920 by 1080, whatever it is. Just bigger pixels. That doesn't help me. I need more pixels. So instead I got 2 24-inch monitors and put them together. So I've doubled my pictures and got 48 inches. Yeah, every guy needs 48 inches. So that's my new rig. I'm still playing with it, still trying to get everything set up. And despite the Linux lover in me, I put Windows 7 on it because, frankly, for video, there's just better stuff for Windows.
Oh, far better stuff. I have no problem with that. I'll say I love my NUC. My NUC is not as powerful as your NUC. My NUC is much older, I'm sure. But I love it. It is so small, so compact, so quiet. And yet does its job just fine and dandy.
How much was the NUC that you got with your 8 gig upgrade?
$390-ish altogether. So with the two monitors and the HDMI cables and all that, it came in just under $700.
Okay, and then you don't have any spinning drive with that at all. I mean, well, I'll take that back. You don't have a CD or DVD drive.
No optical media. I threw an SSD in there, which was a chunk of the expense.
Okay.
Now, here's my question, Mark. Kind of two things. One, John Dubinsky, name we've just said before we went on air, he was also a guy that told me about ZBox. They're the competitors to NUCs. The difference is they come with a hard drive and the RAM already baked in. I literally have one of each, ZBox and NUC. The form factor to me just fascinates me beyond compare. They are, to me, perfect home residential, beat 'em up computer boxes.
Yeah, see, in the studio here, I needed something quiet. So I didn't want to just go grab a big tower with a fan and a power supply and all that. So it, I wasn't interested in the size so much as the quiet. So what I have right in front of me right now is a Nook and three laptops, and between them, they make less noise than an average PC's power supply fan.
The Nook is powered, now you mentioned power supply, like a laptop where it's got the power brick somewhere in the cord.
Right. Oddly enough, it came with the power brick, but not the plug, the AC plug that goes from the wall to the power brick. I had to buy that separately. What the heck?
Wow. That is odd.
That's the cheapest part of the thing they left out.
Is it a standard plug or is it something goofy?
It's the little Mickey Mouse three-prong one, yeah. So it's not rare, but it's not the most common one either.
Yeah. I think HP used those for a while. Okay, I know what you're saying. Huh. That's an odd missing part.
Right. Now, what I'll say, Mark, is if you take a look at my other video camera here, this is what I wanted to be my podcasting rig. This is my Q-Box, which is my computer.
Well, okay, Dora's pointing at a tiny 2x2x2 inch cube right now.
Yeah, cube. This is right now technically managing the stream on YouTube, but this is what I was hoping could be my podcasting rig box, but I failed to remember this was ARM architecture, could not run Google Hangouts. Google Hangouts has a proprietary, has a x86 plugin that you have to have. So that didn't work.
Is that an actual hockey puck next to the Q box?
That is my mouse case for the weight that came with it. I bought literally like a $60 or $70 gaming mouse on sale for $15.
Wow.
And it works good.
I'm sorry. This is where I show that I'm not a gamer. A mouse weights?
Yeah, it has little holes in it where you can crack open the bottom of the mouse and pull out basically little weights to it. I can't show it to you. It's hooked up.
You got LEDs on your.
You've got a 10 key on your mouse.
Well, you can never have enough buttons.
Well, hold on. I'll do this. And here you go. You ready? On the other camera again. Let me lock it.
This is show and tell day. Yay!
This is the mouse. Mine has 12 buttons on the side that I use in conjunction with the OBS to quickly change cameras.
Well, that's clever.
And and down here to quickly change desktops on that computer. Then, of course, I have speed sensitivity and extra pretty lots. I can change colors because lots are pretty.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
I like
that. I use the trackpad that came with my laptop. That's my gaming rig right there.
I don't have any of the macros installed for any button function other than the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They do show up as numbers when I type if I need to.
I was working with a woman recently. We were offsite and literally for 4 days we were sitting side by side inches away, and on day two she had a new mouse and it was a gamer mouse like that. It had the LED lights, and I commented on, hey, new mouse. And she said, I changed my hair color and you didn't notice that 2 days ago, but a new mouse, that you notice. I said, well, your hair color didn't have blue LEDs on it. I would have noticed that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right, since the show is called Android App Addicts, we should probably do an Android app or so. So, Dor, why don't you start us off?
Okay, the first one I want to bring up, I'm not going to lie. Man, I hate when I say that again. This is a repeat app, and it's a repeat app because I don't think enough people heard about it maybe the first time. It's called Premier, I believe, by Google. Premier.
Yeah, you know what? I came across it this week, too, and I didn't realize we'd ever brought it.
Oh, I brought it months ago. I don't think I gave it enough credit for what it is. What this is, anybody involved with any social media, any marketing, any app development, any website management, any website creation, almost anybody doing any type of content on the internet, this app can help teach you what is good content, what is bad content, what are the stats and the facts and the technologies you should focus on when you're doing whatever it is, an email marketing campaign, a web page, worry about mobile responsive, all kinds of little things. This is almost like the Google web developer track on YouTube. It's literally just there to help people make better stuff.
Yeah, I would say anybody who owns a business too and has a web presence with any kind of business, it would not hurt at all to read through these tutorials and little blips and infograms or whatever they are of information. I started reading through it. I'm like, wow, this is things people should really need to know for their businesses.
Yeah, and it's almost any kind of business in reality. Even if you have a physical storefront selling cookies, I guarantee you, you load this app, you go through a couple of the lessons, I guess I'll call them, you will learn something, and you'll learn something positive.
Absolutely. Yeah, I learned a couple things. I just read through it today or yesterday, and I was like, wow, this is nice. I'm surprised it's an app. I'm surprised it's not just Google doesn't advertise the heck out of this on some kind of like Google Plus stream or something. Hey, business owner, come check this out. Here's little handy tips to make your business run better.
Yeah, it's just customers. An odd sort of interface in general, right? But I guess it goes with their new philosophy of mobile first. So we'll make a mobile app of this thing, but it really goes beyond mobile stuff. I mean, the first thing that they mention here is your mobile site. But I don't know. Google just chooses weird vehicles from time to time.
Oh, you say from time to time. I say seemingly virtually always.
True. This smacks of a 20% time project to me.
True. Yes, definitely. Good app.
Yeah. And I'm by the top of my division at my 9-to-5, where we literally do software development. I really am heavily thinking about how to approach my boss and say, is it possible we could find a way to get some people and let them quote unquote work on something that they're actually excited with doing that isn't, you know, our job. But that's going to require some stupendous, miraculous tact and verbiage, I think, to pull that one off.
Yeah, when I was a boss at my previous job, I actively encouraged 20% time because it benefits everybody. Even if it's something that isn't directly your job, you're almost always increasing your skills or honing your logical thinking or something. It's just, it's valuable to do that. You know, and my vast staff of two, I actively encourage them to use 20% time.
Right. And my logic is if I get them to work on something together, it will also help with, of course, teamwork, team building, that kind of
thing. I don't think you'll have a hard time showing examples of other companies who are doing it, and now it's a benefit everywhere they try it.
Yeah, but that's not going to help.
Yeah, in state government, it may be a tough sell.
Nice way to put it, yes.
All right, Mr. Executive, have you got an app for us today?
I do. I'm going to start out with a pretty little app called Water Reflection. And this is an app it's a real simple app. Basically, all it does is a filter kind of. It's an app that you put in your phone, and then you can go into your gallery or pictures, even pictures off the internet for that matter, grab a picture, and it gives a water reflection. So I took a picture. It was in my gallery of the house next door that I own, and I put it in there, and it simulated what it would look like if my street was flooded with this house reflecting off of the water, because it's on a huge hill, so it showed the water like up to a certain percentage of the hill, and the house reflecting off of it. It works good. It's a one-trick app, you know. It does its one thing, and it does it pretty good.
Are they animated or no?
Not in the free version that I... Okay. Not that I use. I didn't get into it too much, though. Maybe.
Their example, if you take a look at their screenshots, their last example is New York City with the Twin Towers in the background, right. And it looks like the city's flooding.
Yeah, that's an odd example. It does look...
Yeah, that's a great example. Good job, Dumpling Sandwich.
Great app name. Two great tastes that taste great together, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, yes.
Anyway, that was a quick one I found, and I'm like, somebody might find this useful.
So you save it then as a JPEG or whatever, export it and do that, or is it only viewable in this app?
You can save it after you do it, after you make it a water thing. You can save it as a separate app or a separate file.
Sometimes I am such the lost old man. I don't get it. What's the point? This is one of those things. You know, well, I think of myself as a hep with it cool cat. I can jive with the best of them. I don't get it.
I'm the kind of guy where when my kids were little, I put them in a little two-man inflatable boat in my pool, and then took and Photoshop-ished, probably at that time it was Windows Paint or, I don't know, Print Artist or something, and I superimposed them in a boat onto some, you know, snow-covered mountains with a lake. You know, it's just little things like that. It's just one little thing that you might want to get done. It's not something you're going to use every day. Like, oh man, I can't wait to, well, I can't wait to see this picture with water under it. You know.
Well, see, I would personally use it as therapy. I would take pictures of people I don't like and make it look like they're drunk.
There you go. Yeah, or a whole group of them in a meeting. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't look like they're drowning. It would look like they're walking on water, though. You'd be making them Jesus.
Well, no, I would put the water like up to their nose.
Yeah, you can crop it to whatever level of water you'd like to use.
Tantalus style. Got it.
Yeah, trust me, Mark. I've thought this.
Apparently, you have. Thinking about it is not a punishable crime, though.
Nope.
All right, so app. Now it's time for an email. Let's read one that's a week or so old from a fellow by the name of Richard Quarin. Says, hey guys, a few quick things. Number one, I'm enjoying the new host, but I also know I could listen to Dore all day long if he was hosting. It's not always about slickness. Sometimes it's about character and enthusiasm. Case in point, did you ever listen to the Lotta Linux Links podcast by Dave Yates?
Oh, hell yeah.
No, I haven't.
Hell yeah. Dave was the man. That's all I got to say. Dave was the man.
I think he just called me slick. I'm not sure, but I'm going to roll with it.
Wow, yeah, passive aggressive there, huh? I don't
know. And then number two, what the heck was up with the show editing on the last episode? Tracks were so messed up that I figured some illegal substances went into the editing of the show. Well, I think we talked a little bit about that last week. That was largely my fault, but Dore got the blame for it.
Yeah, sure, that was it. No, it was me. It's fixed. I know, but I'll say it again. I don't know how to tell people, re-download it, because A, I don't like Twitter bombing a stream. You know, one tweet per show is plenty. Google Plus, I don't want to, you know, so I just hoped people would either say, what is wrong with this, and re-download it, or, you know, just listen to the next show.
At the first sign of trouble, I just turned and ran, so I didn't listen to that show.
Ah! All right, number three, regarding the show's hatred of in-app purchases, two games I recently play, as in every day multiple times a day, excuse me, routinely play, as in multiple times, every day multiple times a day, are Heyday and Alphabetty. Incidentally, on Alphabetty, I'm on level 134 right now. Whoa. Both of these games make you wait for things to process or pay money to speed things up. I consider it a challenge. I have managed to play Heyday for a year and a half, Alphabetty for a few months, and have not punked a penny into either of them. It's a good way to avoid gaming addictions and build up my patience.
Wow.
Yeah, the Heyday, I haven't played that one. I hear a lot about that one, too, in the same circles. I think that may be made by King as well as Alphabetty. Oh,
maybe. Maybe Richard actually lives in your town and you don't know it.
Maybe.
Let's see. And then the last point, he says, hey, Dore, where, oh, where is this mythical new website you speak of every once in a while?
It's in a far-off land, you know, a long time ago. It'll come out Christmas Day along with the new Star Wars movie. Now, the date for launching is October 5th. I literally am taking off work that day. That's my first day back from Ohio Linux Fest. So in the process of detoxing, I'm also going to turn over a new leaf on the website and publish the new website. That's the goal. All right. And he's asking because he actually kind of helped me with it.
Oh, okay. So he knows the Scratch is mythical.
Well, you know.
I have seen a pre-release. I was in a test audience in Poughkeepsie, and I have to say it was stunning. It was breathtaking. It was all you could ever hope for and more.
Yes.
All right, next app, Mr. Geek, sir.
Okay,
I got to stop you. Just sorry, I did you, and then I just remember. I just quick point. Dore sent me something in the mail this week, and in his return address, he actually put Dore to Dore Geek. I just love that. Man is true to himself.
Hell yes. Listen, whenever I'm at work and someone says, hey, Steve, I instantaneously know they're not cool. Okay? And everyone who in my life who says, hey, Dore, hey, you're cool.
So what does your wife call you?
So I can't say it on the air.
Be afraid, Mark, if I ever send you something in the mail, because it won't have my name as a return address. It'll be pretty bad. You'll be embarrassed to even look at your postman again.
All right.
Well, Mark, can I ask, do you want to share what was sent to you in the mail this week?
Sure. I'm not prepared to give any substantive review of it, but our listener, and I've already forgotten his name. Help me out, Dore.
John Dubinsky.
John Dubinsky sent you one of his old phones, which you then sent to me to torture test and play with. It's an Asus Zenfone 6, apparently the Zenfone 1, the first generation. It's an Intel Atom processor Android phone from that was never for sale in the U.S. And it's I've been pounding on it. It came to me, and I'm sure it worked great straight out of the box. But straight out of the box, it was KitKat Android 442, and I was like, oh no, that just won't do. And it was unrooted. What the heck? So I haven't really even tested it because I've been so busy trying to figure out how to make it the way I want it. So I figured out how to root it, and I've put Android, I've put Lollipop 5.0. I couldn't get 5.1. I can't find that anywhere. But in the process, I kind of broke parts of it. So I'm sure at some point it's going to be a great phone, and I'll tell you all about it. But for right now, thanks, John, for this beautiful thing that I'm hacking on every day and just abusing.
Well, the absolute main reason to have the phone is to beat it up, is to abuse it, is to, you know, go hog wild on it. So he, trust me when I say this, he expects you to nearly break it. Sorry, my bad. And if you don't, I think he'll be disappointed.
Well, I've gotten it in a couple of boot loop cycles a couple of times and a hard freeze where it wouldn't even come on. So I have had to bring out the paddles and say clear a couple of times. But I think I can rebuild it. I think I can make it better, stronger, faster. We have the technology.
Exactly. And it will make great sound effects when it's working. Yeah, that's the one of the thing about this phone. The real reason I wanted to send you this phone, Mark, isn't because I thought you would open it up and say, oh, it's fantastic. I just wanted to give you a taste of what's not available in stores in the U.S. There's nothing spectacular about this phone, except it's pretty insanely light for the size and form factor, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a 6-inch phone. It's big. It's a phablet. So far, the best I've been hacking on it, the battery has just lasted phenomenally, which is great. I hate it when you get a big phone and you've got really big battery space in there and you could really make it last all day. And then you do something stupid like put a quad HD screen in it so that all the battery goes out the window.
Yeah, this is 6-inch, 720 by 1280, 13 megapixel camera, 2 gigs of RAM, 3300 milliamp battery. But it performs to me like a beast. When I had it, because I had the exact same phone from him a year ago before I dropped it, and it performed, I was literally shocked at how snappy it was. And that's all I wanted you to see, just what was available. You might in a week love it, you might in a week hate it, you might in a week drop it down a gutter accidentally, but the point is to just experience it.
The idea of an Atom processor in a phone is intriguing to me. I don't know that I consider it a good idea, but it's intriguing.
Well, exactly.
All right. Now that I've asked you to bring me an app and then totally stopped you and interrupted you, please, what is your next app tour?
Okay. This app, it's almost kind of a little bit maybe for you, Mark.
Wow.
This is an app that should have been out a year ago, but for some reason is just coming out now. It's called Swappa Price. This is the official app from Swappa.com. And for everyone out there who does not know what Swappa.com is, Swappa.com is the legitimate, respectable, eBay-like service, but for mobile phones. You can put phones on there for sale or buy them, and you are guaranteed that the phone is going to work, basically. That is a big plus. Now, if the phone, anything's wrong with it, like a broken screen, you can't sell it on Swappa. It has to be a fully functioning device. So what you get on Swappa is a very high standard of device that's for sale. And even if you just install the app, just to look every now and then to see what the current market price is, it gives you a much better idea if you want to get rid of your phone and sell it. This would be a good place to do it. Or if you want to look at buying a new device, this is, to be honest, a very good place to buy it. They're not a sponsor. They didn't pay me nothing. They didn't give me any discount. They didn't give me any coupon code. I just love this site as a service.
I like the price tracking too. It shows you how the price has gone down as the device has aged.
Yeah.
This app's kind of cool too. I installed the app and it's like, oh, here's some suggested devices that you might be interested in. Well, it comes up the Samsung Galaxy Note 4, the Galaxy S5, the Note 4 and the S5 were for Sprint. And then the third one, it gives you three. The third one was the Samsung Galaxy S4 for US Cellular, which is the phone I own. I'm like, let's just take a look real quick. And no, I was a little bummed that it doesn't have tablets on there too, though. Because I'm in the market for a tablet, and I could use like You know, Samsung Note S or something would be nice.
Right. Well, they started out with just phones. They just started doing wearables, I believe, maybe a month or two ago. I don't know if they want to get into tablets because, to me, their goal was always phones or devices with phone antennas in them, and not all tablets do. So I really don't know if they plan on doing it, but I have to agree, having more devices in there can only make it better.
Yeah. My device is worth like $300 and some bucks still. I was surprised. $370 right now.
All right. So, Eric, what's your next app for us tonight?
I've got... Okay, now last week I brought that like Wild West Trials game with the cartoony...
Dude, person. I have been playing that like crazy. Stop. Okay. Stop. Don't you bring another one like that. I don't have enough spare time.
Sorry. Yeah, this one's called Orb Trials. This game is much harder and way beyond my my level as far as gameplay goes. I can't get very far at all in this one. There's 60 levels, but I can't get. I think I made it to 5, and I tried a lot of times on this game to do better. So if you think that those other trials games are a little too easy, give this one a run. Basically, you're a ball on top of a ball, kind of like, I guess, isn't there like a new movie coming out on Christmas that has like a little robot that's a ball on top of another ball or something?
I've heard about that.
I don't know, Eric. What are you talking about?
Anyway, orbs, I guess they don't call them balls in here. Orbs are just rolling around, and you have to get it through these mazes and things. Sort of Marble Blast-ish, sort of trials, motorcycle-ish.
Yeah, I was going to say Marble Madness, like especially in the angle. And the fact that everything is like cube gridded out,
yeah,
but definitely more advanced and complex than Marble Madness.
Yeah.
And no movie.
Yeah, no video. What's up with that? Michael Sherwin, you should put a video with your app.
You know, Michael, if you were a Patreon supporter over at patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts, you could even ask me to do a video that I would happily let you use.
Well, that's a good idea. You probably should let Dor do that because my video would not be any better than your screenshots as far as length because I'm not good at your game.
All right, so two apps, and now it's time for an email. This one actually came to my Element OP feedback, but it's really more about this show, so I brought it here. Our friend and recurring contributor Captain Zero says, Mark, on AAA, the video your spittle guard obscures most of your face. A little larger and all we'll see is a set of earmuffs and your eyeballs. Toss the coat hanger and pantyhose. Get a real foam wind guard for your mic. Well, I if you're watching now, I actually did lower it a little bit. See, I have, there's two reasons that I have kept the mic right up close to my face. A, who wants to look at me, frankly? Now, this is what you get. See, here I am, and this is what you ask for. So look on and cry. But secondly, all good microphones, all microphones, period, employ what's called a proximity effect. That deep, rich, boomy bass tone is amplified as you get closer to the mic. And I gave up some of that when I dropped the mic back. I had to make up for a little bit with some EQ and some compression, but I just think it sounds better. And since I'm a podcaster and not a vodcaster, I never really worried about it. But as I said earlier, since I'm trying to up my game a little bit in the video, here's my face. Look at it and weep.
Yeah. Yep. Now, Captain Zero, you cannot unsee.
That's right. Hey, what the eye has seen cannot be unseen.
I have to say thank you, Captain Zero. Now I know who the goateed android in our logo is, because I knew it wasn't me. I'm usually full beard.
And so continuing with his email, says, all joking aside, you've done a bang-up job of taking over for Steve C on AAA, but please loosen up the reins just a wee bit and go past the one-hour mark. I don't care if Door drones on and on. Actually, he needs to. Thanks for all the entertainment you provide me. I'm ashamed I find myself in a pickle regarding supporting all the shows I listen to. Patreon is great, but I'm about to retire with less than what I need to survive, and the missus gets cranky when there's not enough money to go around. So I've had to pick and choose. Not an easy task. Everyday Linux was not on the short list, even if it should have been. Perhaps I can resqueak my budget. I'll try, but you don't get more money But if you don't get more money from me, rest assured I'll do my best to promote your show, except I absolutely refuse to have anything to do with Apple, including their App Store. Sorry. Regards, Captain. Shh. I wish I had more money to give those that deserve it. Zero.
Awesome. Awesome, man.
So I'm sure he would also give to the Android App Addicts Patreon. But since he's not giving, he's not giving to both of us equally.
Well, he kind of is giving to.
There we go. Android. Thanks.
But I'll say, if you can't afford it out there, don't make don't stress.
Really,
sending us emails is fabulous, and I mean that as in fabulous. it is awesome. Okay. Tweeting us and Google Plusing us or whatever, Facebooking us, that's fine. That's great. But listen to the show, send us emails. That's all we really ask. If you have extra money sitting around, literally, okay, then send it. But don't cut the steak. Don't cut the wife's meal from a steak down to a hamburger just to send us money. Don't do that.
We are not in competition here. Not Dor and I are not, nor are we with any other podcaster. You give your money to who you want to give your money to, and you don't who you don't. And I don't think any of us gets mad about that. It's all gravy, right? The fact that you're a listener, that's what we want. That's what we need. The best thing you could do is A, download the show, and B, download the show. Everything else is bonus. And so if you want to throw some tips his way and not mine, I'm fine with that. If you want to go the other way, I know he's fine with that. So don't worry about the money. Don't let that stress you.
And Dor, I like your alter ego. You should take your glasses off more often.
No, that's okay. I just had to clean them. I saw a spot down there, and it was just
did you get new glasses?
This is Clark Kent. When he takes them off, he's Super Dor.
Yeah,
he's Super Dor with that.
I know I'm blind as a bat.
Honey.
Okay. Dor, next app, please. Dig us out of this hole.
Okay, this is technically not a repeat app, even though it's a repeat app. It is. I believe before what I brought was a unofficial app. This is the official app from the Khan Academy. That's KHAN, Khan Academy, almost like Khan and Kirk, you know what I'm saying? All I can say is if you do not know what Khan Academy is, and it's another app without a video, it is a ultra simplistic learning site with use of videos on all kinds of topics, from the basic of the basic of the basic math or biology or economics or history. I mean, all kinds of different things, up to insanely difficult calculus, political science kind of thing, all kinds of stuff. But it's really done in such a way that anybody can really understand and comprehend it. This was one of those things that was done so good in the beginning. Bill Gates literally dumped money on this guy's front doors and just said, please keep doing what you're doing.
This, I'll tell you, so it's got all this stuff, and you would expect that, they'll give you a few lessons for free, and the ones you really want are going to be charged. There is no in-app purchases on this app. It's all just there for you to use. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. This, to me, is the perfect example of how we humans on the planet Earth today have it so unbelievably good considering people even just 20, 30 years ago. You can go on the internet on a site like this and learn nearly anything you want to what is, to an extremely high degree. I don't want to say college level, but an extremely high degree of education from this.
Nice. I had seen this in the feed this week and I didn't really go anywhere with it. It is going to be installed now. I'm hoping I can just use it just to help my daughter with high school math. I never considered myself really bad at math, but it's been a while.
That's what Khan Academy started as, was a high school math tutor series, and it just grew from there. And it really is a university at your fingertips, and it's all high quality stuff at no cost. It's been around for several years, and it's just getting better. Good stuff.
Wow.
Well, and I don't know how early you called it, Mark. When I called it, it really wasn't extremely high quality. You could tell it was a shoestring budget, but the passion is what I first noticed just come right through in teaching and educating and sharing knowledge. Now he has the quality to match it.
Yeah, I will say the information has always been high quality. The production value has ramped up over time.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a good.
All right, Eric, what's your next offering for us tonight?
Well, since we are on the subject of learning and being smart and all that stuff, my app is called Genius. And this is going to take us totally the opposite way with things. I can't follow Khan Academy with anything good. So this is Genius. Song lyrics and more. This is how you can become a genius in knowing all the words to all the songs you've ever heard. As an easy search. I think it'll even listen for the songs and find the lyrics for you. Every song I've typed in, it knew. If this is something that's really bothering you. I don't know if your high schooler is going to need this help with their homework. But if they're in music theory and they need an Eminem lyric, that's in here.
So I got to say that I was this week I'm on vacation. This is my annual vacation. My kids always have a fall break at the third week in September, so I don't take any summer vacation time. I do fall vacation. So I had to do a staycation this year rather than a vacation. I've discovered that when you live in a metropolitan area like I do, you can hemorrhage money without ever leaving town. It's great. But today I took my kids to the zoo. So I have my three kids plus two of them brought friends along. So I had five kids with me. And we were listening to some tween radio station on Pandora along the way. And I assure you, they don't need this app. They knew every word to every song, just like I did when I was proud to say I knew every word to Pour Some Sugar on Me. It's only old farts like us who need this app.
I was surprised. The song that I looked up, I knew most of the words for, and it's a very new song.
Okay. First off, Mark, pulling up Def Leppard. Yeah, okay. Here's my question, Eric. Okay, so you can do a SoundHound-esque hit the button, and it will recognize the song. It looks like in the screenshot, it might even possibly highlight as it goes along and tell you that word you just heard was because of a highlight, maybe?
I just looked it up manually, so no, that's a great idea, too. So play like karaoke's along with the song.
Yeah, because I see a screenshot where it says, hold your phone up to the music, and then I see a screenshot with Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj.
Right. and it has part of it highlighted.
What part's highlighted?
Hook.
Banane or Beyonce?
It's Beyonce.
Beyonce. All right. Yeah. Beyonce.
Beyonce.
I think it's Beyonce.
Yeah, it's Beyonce.
I just wanted to hear you say Beyonce.
I know. Good job, sir.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Genius song lyrics by Genius Media Group.
Well, it definitely has a good name. I mean, it's right to the point. But I don't know about Genius now.
Yeah,
I'm convinced that Nicki Minaj's only talent is being annoying, even in her music.
Yeah, she's.
I thought it was just to sell sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
there were more than a couple of times today.
I don't know if she could make any money off of that door.
There were more than a couple of times today we had to hit the old skip button on Pandora because the tween radio was playing things that were far more adult than I was comfortable hearing, having my 9-year-olds listen to. Two of those instances featured Nicki Minaj.
Oh, man.
Not surprised.
No.
All right, so that's app. Now it's my turn, email. This is from Ken Heil. Says, door-to-door. How do we know Amazon gives Podnuts credit for purchases when we use the AAA link? I use it most of the time. Yesterday, I spent $400 on some suitcases and whatnot. That only seems to work on desktops. What about mobile purchases from their app? Still listening, Ken. P.S. Is Linux for the rest of us still on iTunes? Sorry to mention an Apple thing, but I have to use one for work, and the podcast library is the easiest to use.
Yeah, everything on Podnuts is on iTunes. Sometimes I will admit I wait for a show to get 5 or 10 deep before I put it on, but everything on Podnuts is always on iTunes. And if you would love to leave a review, I would not be upset. It's incredibly difficult to know if your purchase is going to the affiliate link that you want it to, because Amazon basically hides it from you. So what I said was, if you buy something, let me know, and I'll see if I can see that item being purchased. Ooh. All I can see in my sheet is somebody purchased a suitcase, somebody purchased this barbecue grill, somebody purchased this thing, but I have no idea who they are.
Oh, whew. Good. I was almost really embarrassed there.
No, and I would say he told me he bought a suitcase. That's why I said a suitcase. And I said, the suitcase? And he said, yes. That's okay, good. Then, yes, it worked.
And the thing about that is you have to declare when you do an Amazon affiliate link. You declare what you are. So if you are a tech thing, you get a lower kickback on tech stuff because they expect that to be your audience. So those suitcases actually paid more door more than if you had bought a supercomputer.
Right, literally. And I say on mobile, as long as you're using a full mobile browser, it should work as well. The difference is if you use the Amazon mobile app, it doesn't.
No affiliations at all in the app.
And that's okay. Use Amazon, whatever the way you like to use Amazon. Buy whatever you want on any service that you like. If you are, if you have the opportunity to use the Amazon affiliate link, that's fantastic. If you use it for Element Opie, that's fantastic. If you use it for Lenx Gamecast, that's fantastic. If you use it for Sean Johnson and the Average Runner podcast, that's fantastic. Just help people out when you can, but don't stress about it.
Yeah, what's great about that is there's literally no difference to you. Other than a pound character in your URL, you don't notice a difference. No extra money, no nothing. It is the most painless way to help out your favorite podcast.
Which is why I believe it's so damn successful.
I think a good show name for this episode should be Don't Stress.
So here's an idea for an app, a plug-in for some of the coders in the audience. I need a plug-in where I can load up several different affiliate links that I like to use, and every time I go to Amazon, you sub one of those in randomly. That would be super.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this. As long as they don't hard-code anybody's affiliate link into it, it doesn't break policy. But if they have preloaded someone's affiliate link, then that person will get banned from Amazon.
Yeah, well, you'd have to be like, I use a redirector. I'm sure you do too. If you link to the redirector, you're okay. That would work.
Exactly.
That was email. So, Dor, you're up. What's your next app?
Okay. This is definitely one of those nostalgia-esque applications. And it even has a video. This is called Litron, I'm going to guess. Litron. By Short Break Studios. Does have some sort of in-app purchases, I don't even know, but it is free. Best way I can describe this app, it's Tron-like in colors almost alone. If you watch this app, it tries to almost emulate old 70s-style CRT screen because the screen's a little bit curved on all the outer edges. There's a little bit of like imperfection in the horizontal alignment as well, which just has it gives it a little bit of, I don't know, I like it. It's almost like a snake game, but you can't touch anything. Your goal is to get to the white spot. That's the only way I can explain it. Some of the screens are very slow and methodical. Some of the screens are very fast and dynamic and hard to move around. I just had a bunch of fun playing with this game, but it was at times quite difficult.
That's a cool looking game. I like how they have like the red just off a little bit, like the TVs used to be. Oh, it's so cool. It's very Atari-ish. Yeah.
Yeah, because everything's a block. Yes. You know? Instead of there being pixelated, it's just a square pixel.
And it's the same game no matter what pattern is on the screen then. Pretty much you're doing the same game. Because there's a lot of different patterns here.
There is, but your goal is to always get to the white pixel. Okay.
Because one almost looks like you're playing Breakout all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then there's one that's like Tetris almost.
Nice. I like people who do attention to details like the curved screen and things like that when they're making a retro game.
Yeah, retro is the thing these days. Us guys, right, 40-somethings grew up in the 80s. We're nostalgic for washed-out colors and crappy quality stuff.
Do the young kids who listen to the show, do they think that we're old because we kind of think this is cool a little bit, or do they think it's cool too? Because I don't want to be that guy who's pimping hair bands when nobody wants to hear them, you know, or something, things from my teenage years, I don't even remember, but like early rap songs like Run DMC or Beastie Boys. You know, I still would like to listen to some Beastie Boys every now and then or Back or something. And I wonder if the kids really hate that.
I'm sure they love it. Number one, there is no absolute Eric, okay? I'm sure there are some young kids that say, oh, thanks, stupid. But I'm sure there's also younger people that, think, you know, yeah, I remember being in a dusty bar and in the corner they had something that looked like that. That's kind of cool. There's all kinds out there.
It definitely would fit right in there.
But this type of thing, I think, has a quote-unquote special audience where there's going to be a hefty percentage of people that just look at this and say, it's stupid. Look at it. And then there's going to be a certain percentage of people that just look at it and say, oh, that's awesome.
I like to watch old 80s television on Netflix, recapturing my youth, Quantum Leap, MacGyver, that sort of stuff. And one of the things I noticed is all of the text on the screen was freaking huge. It was like 76-point, 80-point font because the TV was 13 inches big and it was 16 feet across your giant living room. So it had to be. And so when they'd show a high-tech computer thing, like a tape rolling between two reel-to-reels, or there'd be some text on it, the text would be ginormous because it had to be readable from that far away. Just the things that you notice, or one of the things that I love to see, particularly like watching Star Trek, The Next Generation, things like that, is the ridiculous blocking they used to have to do to get all seven major characters in a scene in a 4x3 frame. So you got two guys essentially about to kiss each other with a woman standing right in, and no humans would never associate themselves in that organization in real life. But because they had that small aspect ratio, they had to cram everybody in there, they just make it look normal. Riker, you know, sticks his leg up and is basically humping Data in the ear just so that they could get him there in the shot. Look at that. Watch the Star Trek The Next Generation. You see that happen all the time, and they act like it's perfectly normal. Of course it's not normal. No human would do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just went off on a rant.
They're afraid of each other now than they used to be.
You think so?
I don't know. That's what I was thinking, but you might be onto something.
Oh, yeah, I definitely. There's no doubt he's onto something. My question is, okay, you were thinking 80s TV there. The one I'm going to throw out there for you.
Heroes started. The new series of Heroes starts. Nobody started tonight. Just let me know.
Is Automan. Do you remember that
yes,
one?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Cursor.
With, Desi Arnaz Jr. Yes, 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 yes. That, to me, epitomized 80s idea of computers and the quote-unquote best there is to offer in special effects.
Yeah, so they had one throwaway line in one of the early episodes where originally he could only come out at night because when people started turning things on in the day, there wasn't enough power to run him. They had a show in Vegas, and he was like, well, Vegas has generators. I could be here all the time. So then from then on, every show was in Vegas from then on.
Right. Yeah. They had, it wasn't completely thought out in the beginning, but, you know.
I got to say, I don't remember the show at all.
Well, it's because it was on, 12 episodes. It didn't last long.
It wasn't long, but it felt to me like it was on for 10 seasons when I was a kid.
It looked a lot like Tron.
I don't know why.
You know, with a Lamborghini.
It was definitely yanking on the coattails of Tron, no doubt.
All right, whose was that? Was that yours, Dor?
Eric? That last app was
Dor. Okay. Yes. So, Eric, it's your turn. That seemed like such an Eric app. That's why I asked.
Yeah, yes. He's pretty retro. Fast and Furious Legacy is my app. This is a by Kabam Action. Now, I've come to notice that Fast and the Furious just must throw in app developers in a big hat, and they pick one out, and they're like, you get to do our next app. So, last week, I brought the NASCAR game, the Endless Runner NASCAR game. Did you guys play that at all? Get a chance?
No.
Anyway, it was a fun game. This one is not as fun. It's very similar, though, and I'm going to say this is borderline crap app for me. It's got a lot of great reviews. It must just be the graphics in the cars because there's way too much stuff going on in between levels or in races and things. There's just way too many just little things. Okay, you got to hit okay here, and then you got to go over here and pick your eye color and all that crap. It's just so weird.
Well, Eric, have you seen the movies? I'm just wondering. Because they're nothing but fluff and pointless explosions.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of that. A lot of fluff. Okay,
and I'll say, you do know, Fast and the Furious is the biggest money-making franchise in the history of movies on a global scale.
I believe it.
Nothing has even came close to making as much money as Fast and Furious. So games like this, they don't have to make good. People
are
still
down. The graphics are beautiful. It's just that the gameplay, I would just rather just play instead of go through all the other fluff. And basically, it's a pick a lane, back, forth, left, right, you know, lane to lane, dodging things and running into stuff.
And of course you have your stereotypical nitrous and stuff.
Yeah, like that. And cops. Oh, it's just, it's all about avoiding cops. I don't know. Maybe I'm a cop lover or something, but I liked the NASCAR game way more because it wasn't all about like taking cops out and staying away from cops. I don't know. I respect their authority.
Well, it says take down classic villains from the Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But the villains are all cops.
That's the way it felt. Yeah, Mark. That's the way it felt. Yeah.
Well, it's that typical gray hero. They can't have a white hat guy because, you know, that's not cool.
All right, so next up, I've got, it's not really an email from a listener, it's an email from Door, actually, but starting, before you next hear from us again, starting on September 30th, they'll start shipping, but you can pre-order right now, the Amazon Fire tablet is having a fire sale. You can pick one up for $50. This is a, you know, a 1.3 gigahertz quad core processor with rear and front facing cameras. This is no slouch. This is a real tablet for $50. Or if you buy a six pack, they'll sell them to you. You buy five, get one free. So if you got, you know, you want to buy them for a classroom or whatever, $250 for six of them. You know, no shilling here for Amazon. The software is not super awesome, but the tablet is first rate for $50. You can't beat it.
Is it, that's a what size tablet?
7-inch.
7-inch, yeah. Yeah, to me, this is the kind of thing, when I want to bring this up, it's not to tell people to go buy five of them or whatever. It's literally to tell people, stop right now, ask your closest family members, and heck, even ask coworkers, would you like to get someone a tablet for Christmas? And if you can get five other people to say yes, you can each save money by buying six of these things at a whack. This is literally nearly professional grade, because it's been from Amazon, so it's not a, you know, $20 tablet from China. Professional grade, yet disposable tablet. I mean, it's really hard to beat it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I saw that deal, and I really thought hard about my city council and going paperless with that item. You know, as far as our agendas and minutes and things that they can just read, and I don't have to print off with tons of paper. Because they've looked at, you know, iPads and things in the past, and it's never been cost effective. We've never been able to justify the savings of paper versus the amount of hardware costs and software and things like that. But if they can read PDFs, I'm good.
And it comes with, it's essentially an Amazon Prime purchasing outlet. You know, it's got Amazon software on it. But I know a few people who have them, and they're fine tablets. They work really well. And I'm sure somebody out there has found a way to throw a ROM on there that cleans it up and takes all the Amazon cruft off of it. For $50, I mean, it becomes a disposable tablet at that point. If you break it, you pull another one out and hand it to your kid. Oh, sorry, kid, here.
Exactly. There's no doubt somebody will put ROMs on it, but right now I think it's too new, but there's no doubt. The hacker community, the cheaper it is, the more they're going to support it, because the more they can buy and accidentally break trying to figure it out. Yeah. So if you want to put ROMs on it, you hate Amazon purchasing system, the Amazon Android OS, then buy it, stick it in a hole, wait a couple weeks until a ROM comes out for it, because it's inevitable.
Yeah, I think this didn't, if I remember it, did it only have 512 for memory?
No, it has to have more than that.
Technical details. Yeah. Let me check. There's something that was really holding me back on this one. Now it's 1 gig. Yeah, quad core, 1.3 gigahertz with 1 gig of RAM.
8 gigs of storage.
Seems.
But you can throw an SD card in there.
Yeah, that's that really. That would probably work for most the things that I need it to do for it work.
Well, yeah, with 8 gigs of RAM, it's not a powerhouse tablet. It's not a gaming tablet. It isn't a carry around hours and hours of movies and videos tablet. It's a perfect quote-unquote couch computer, or a here kid play Angry Birds for the 50 billionth time tablet.
At that price, it's a Roku remote that's cheaper than buying a replacement Roku remote.
Good way to put it. It's only $10 more than the Amazon Fire Stick, the new one that they just came out with too, since we're on the Fire stuff. They speaking of remote, they have a listening remote for the Fire Stick now, and it's now $10 more with that, which also integrates what's her name? It's not Cortana. Alexa. No, Alexa. Oh. From the Echo. Oh. Alexa moves over to the Fire Stick now with this new remote.
Ah, interesting.
I think those digital assistants are—they're going to be ubiquitous. Every home will have several, and why not? It's
yeah. But when are you going to be able to name it yourself?
There's no reason I shouldn't be able to do that. Right?
No,
was
you
it
can.
Motorola?
You can name it yourself.
Motorola had the ability to record your own phrase. I forget. I think on their Moto X. There's no reason I should have to say okay, Google. Sorry, people listening, I just set off your devices. There's no reason I should have to say that. I should be able to pick any, you know, multisyllabic phrase and do it. But for some reason, not yet.
Right. And you can, but only on some devices, Eric. 99% sure on the Amazon Echo, you cannot change the name. On most of the Android devices, you cannot change the phrase. On iPhone, I'm 99% sure you can't change nothing. It's an iPhone.
On a Siri, you can you can tell it what to call you. But
right, well, yeah, because you know I'm the most important thing in this universe. So yes,
I'm an iPod owner, so of course I am.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah.
All right, I think we're gonna wrap that up. Sorry if I'm holding the reins a little too tight. But that was
fine.
That was six apps and three emails. So I think that's going to be good. Gentlemen, do we have any closing thoughts before we say goodnight?
You're fine, Eric.
Thank you,
Mark.
You're not bad yourself. You're
perfectly fine, Mark. If people want more content, let me. I'm seriously, I haven't got one email about this. I've said it. I know for three shows. If you want more content, you have to let me know you want more content. Don't complain and say Mark's holding this show short. Captain Zero, love you. Don't complain and say Mark's holding this show short, because he's not. Mark's a working man. We like to jabber. We can only bring what we can bring.
Yeah.
I have six other days with many hours in each day where I could record something else. So, you know.
Other than this week, I'm on vacation. I typically get up between 4:30 and 5. And we start recording at 9 o'clock my time. So, that's when we allegedly start recording. We actually start recording around 9:30. So when I'm keeping the show short to an hour, that means that I'm going to get in bed like 5 hours before I got to get up. So that's why I'm rushing it, all honesty.
Yeah, that's a hard one. I feel for you, man.
Hey, I'll say the hardest thing in podcasting is not setting up the website. It isn't getting the audio equipment. It isn't getting the audio sounding right. It isn't setting up the RSS feed. It isn't any of that. It's scheduling.
And only number two behind that is finding a name.
Well, yeah. You have to choose wisely, like Indiana Jones. I want to thank everyone again for their support, for downloading, for supporting us by emails or any other way that you think is applicable. For the direct donations, I really can't thank people enough. Sometimes I just answer an email. And then when I answer the email, 5 minutes later, I get a donation. That's really awesome, guys. And the newest Patreon contributor is the man, the myth, the legend, Jose Quesada, renowned Apple hater.
Oh, yeah.
A guy who I would love to shake his hand. Yeah. We do have one person who optioned in for the $5 a month, I think it was, Patreon level, which is you get early access to, quote unquote, all my apps. And that is Simon. I don't have it set up yet, Simon, but pretty soon he's going to say, Dor, can you stop sending me too many apps?
Be careful what you ask for. You just might get it.
Yeah. But thank you, Mark.
I will say we are running a bit short on emails. I've got only a couple more in the queue. So if you want email on the show next week, you got to bring it, aaa@podnuts.com. Your complaints, your comments, your apps, whatever you want to say, we'll probably read it on the air. Eric, got any final words for us?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with my website, dnmedia.com. It's just redirecting. So if you don't want a virus, don't go there. But if you do want to reach out to me or see what I'm up to, just hit me up on Google+, Eric Ardini. You start spelling it, I'm sure it'll autofill because there's one of us. So Ardui. Just check me out on Google+ and friend me, and I'll friend you back because I'm easy.
So do you guys do, Eric, you don't do Facebook, right? You've said that.
I don't, no.
You have a Facebook page?
I technically do
also.
Do you accept friend requests from people you don't know?
What's a friend request?
Okay.
On Google Plus, if I don't know them, I will. I like my circles. I got an acquaintance circle. I've got a Podnuts circle, and I've got like people I've had on the show circle, things like that. You know, it's nice.
So if you find me,
unfriend a lot of people, if that's what you mean.
If you find me on Facebook and you send a friend request, I only friend people on Facebook that I actually know in real life. But
see, and the opposite.
But you can follow people. You can follow me, and you will see my 6 or 8 posts every 3 months. If you want to do that. But I do occasionally find a podcast listener who finds me on Facebook, which is fairly unusual, actually, because Mark Cockrell is an unusually common name. You wouldn't think it is. Wait, is that possible? Unusually common? That seems like a paradox. It's a more common name than you would think it would be. And they're all over Facebook. But every now and then somebody finds this ugly mug and clicks the friend button. And I have to say, I'm sorry, I don't know you, and that's I post pictures of my kids and stuff, you know, when they're going to be at school, and just, no, I don't do that, sorry. But you can follow me, and then when I post something publicly, you'll see it, but most of the stuff I don't publish publicly. So don't find me on Facebook. Go to elementopi.com. That's where you can find me, check out what I do on the web, which is basically I pontificate into a microphone until people tell me to shut up.
Yeah, see, I'm the total opposite, Mark. If there's a chance I can meet somebody face to face and shake their hand on more than a monthly basis, I won't friend you on Facebook. Facebook to me is for people who can't connect. And if I went to school with you, there's no way in hell you're my friend in Facebook.
Yeah.
I do not want to see you ever again. I hated all you people.
Yeah, my school recently had our 25th, I think it was, anniversary, or reunion, rather. And somebody, you know, one of my friends on Facebook who I went to high school with said, are you planning to go to the reunion? I was like, I only liked 3 of those people originally, and I still talk to all 3 of you. So, no, I have no interest in going back.
Yeah, the only reason I would go back is to pull a prank of stink bomb and locking the door. That's about it. But if you're a podcast listener, yes, I'll happily accept whatever on Facebook. But if I remember you as a child, hey, no, get away.
All right, guys, that's it. Thank you so much for being with us. Dort, obviously, thank you for being the paragon of humanitarian virtues that you are. Eric, we couldn't do it without our administrator, our executive, the manager. Thank you. And listener, you're the reason we're here. So thank you for hanging out with us. And I'm going to say that ends it. We'll see you next week on Android App Addicts.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.